We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Superfly, welcome into this Thursday edition of Sports Talk here on WWL, AMFMN.com, along with Mark Menard at Master Control. I'm Christian Garrick here with you until 8 o'clock tonight. Going to visit with LSU baseball coach Paul Menard at 4:30. Big Ben McDonald, the original Big Ben, former LSU Tiger pitcher, MLB pitcher as well, 5:20. Then Amos Morrell III, Mark Menard, and I will kind of just kick it around 6 to 7, have a little fun on the air. Who knows exactly what's going to come out the box in terms of it's kind of just a roundtable discussion. At 7:30, we've got Northwestern State's quarterback. We'll get to that at 7:30. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. The Saints released punter Thomas Morstead today. Actually, they terminated his contract. Same thing, just different verbiage. Thomas Morstead punting for the Saints since 2009. And if you listen to Sports Talk over the course of the last 5 weeks, the writing was on the wall. Bobby and I pretty much predicted this move because of his salary cap implications. He had a total salary cap hit of $4.5 million. The Saints saved $2.5 million trying to get beneath that $64 million over the cap they currently are. And they save about $2.5 million. They eat $2 million in dead money. So the dead money is starting to pile up on next year. But, again, they're expected to be in a much better position salary cap-wise next year. The longtime punter. And, look, he's a fan favorite. Thomas Morstead, I think, will be a Saints Hall of Famer, and he'll be forever known for doing this in Super Bowl 44.
So the Saints will kick it away, beginning the second half. They will defend the goal to our left. Thomas Morstead, with his hand aloft, steps into the football, and it's an onside kick. And it's going to be covered up by Chris Reese, I believe. He had it momentarily. They're still fighting for it. No indication as yet. It's like working on an avocado. Yeah. There's the first indication. And after the Who plays at halftime, maybe it's the Colts who are saying we won't get fooled again, because the Saints fooled them to begin the second half with an onside kick and came away with it.
The infamous ambush to start the second half of Super Bowl 44 and propelling the Saints to a 31-17 victory over the Indianapolis Colts. And Thomas Morstead, a fixture in the community, longtime Saint, number six. He is part of that Super Bowl championship team, and with the news of Thomas Morstead and the expectation that Drew Brees is going to retire, the only player currently on the roster that was a part of that 2009 championship team is Malcolm Jenkins, and of course he just arrived back to New Orleans last year. Thomas Morstead, you saw this coming because of A, the salary was elevated, and I think Blake Gilliquin, the undrafted punter being stashed on the practice squad, who kicked well in the practices that the media was allowed to attend, it's a no-brainer. And that's a prime example of how you're going to see this roster take shape for the Saints for this fall, is a lot of young, cheap talent. Talented, but cheap. Cheaper. Blake Gilliquin is not going to be a $4.5 million punter this year. They restructured Will Lutz's contract to create some more space as well. So they're about hovering $59, $60 million projected roughly over the salary cap right now. Keep in mind, if Drew Brees retires and they file his retirement paperwork after June 1st, there's $25 million that immediately comes off the salary cap. They got to be under the cap by the start of the league year, 13 days from today, March 7th. So more to come. We're going to see, I think, almost every day where into tomorrow and into next week where they're paring down their roster. It's going to be across the league. It's going to be brutal. You're going to see a lot of cuts across the National Football League that are going to raise some eyebrows starting probably next week. If you want to say something to Thomas Morstead, he's unlikely, I think, to return to the Saints because of Blake Gilliquin. But if you want to, you know, share your farewell for Thomas Morstead, who gave back to this community tenfold, he was a big part of the community, he'll go punt somewhere else if he chooses to. But if you want to say your goodbyes to Thomas Morstead, feel free at 504-260-1870. Let him know what he meant to you as a Saints fan and also as a part of New Orleans and what he did for the community. 504-260-1870. The Saints and Coach Sean Payton announcing multiple changes and additions to the team's coaching staff for the upcoming season. We'll get to that when we return here. We're just getting started on Sports Talk on WWL. Welcome back to Sports Talk. As you heard there during the Sports Flash with Mark Menard, Thomas Morstead, longtime Saints punter, has been released by the club. You heard his statement, no hard feelings. And the Saints continue to fill out their coaching staff and also some additions and some changes. So Ronald Curry will coach quarterbacks this fall. It's the first season as the QB coach after serving as the wide receivers coach from 2019 and 2020. And also working as an offensive assistant with the position group under Coach CJ Curtis Johnson from 2016 to 2018. And also Curry has supervised the development of Traquan Smith and Michael Thomas. And Traquan Smith, 16 touchdowns in the regular season and postseason combined since being selected in the third round of the 2018 NFL draft. We all know Michael Thomas's production, 510 receptions, their NFL record through a player's first five NFL seasons. Some more changes. Curry has been in the NFL 16 seasons. He played wideout in seven seasons from 2002 to 2008 for the Oakland Raiders and then served on the San Francisco 49ers coaching staff from 2013 to 2015. Ryan Nielsen adds the assistant head coach title to his responsibilities of tutoring the Saints defensive line. For his fifth season with the club, he is an ascending star. You remember LSU was trying to hire Ryan Nielsen as their defensive coordinator. But he's a very well-respected in that locker room, in that building, for his ability to teach defensive line play. Since 2017, 187 sacks recorded by the Saints, and that ranks third in the NFL, and the team had a league record 55-game regular season and postseason combined streak of games without surrendering 100 yards rushing to an individual. Within his position group, obviously Cameron Jordan had 48 sacks, on the fourth in the NFL since 2017 when Ryan Nielsen arrived. He also was selected, talking about Cam Jordan, to four consecutive Pro Bowls, and Trey Hendrickson finished tied for the second in the league with 13.5 sacks. I think Ryan Nielsen's a big part of that. Let's see. Brandon Nugent will coach the offensive line in 2021. It's his first season as an offensive line coach after serving as an assistant offensive line and run game coordinator in 2020, primarily working with the line since first arriving as the offensive assistant in 2015. Nugent assisted with an offensive line that has surrendered only 94 sacks since 2017, tied for the lowest total in the league. In four seasons, 10 Pro Bowl selections have come from the Saints' offensive line, including two in 2020. And Brandon Nugent was a big part of that, so he's now going to be the offensive line coach. So what happens to Dan Rauscha? Also another addition, Chris Richard joins the Saints as a secondary coach after tutoring the position group in the National Football League for 10 years, including five as a defensive coordinator and play caller from 2018 to 2019. Richard served as the passing game coordinator and secondary coach of the Dallas Cowboys, and he oversaw a pass defense that improved in several areas. He served on the coaching staff of the Seattle Seahawks during their Legion of Boom era from 2010 to 2017, and during that era they had 11 AP All-Pro selections on that defense. Chris Richard, I think, it was a rising star with the Cowboys and then Mike McCarthy gets hired and doesn't retain him. That's a big win for, I think, the Saints secondary, losing Aaron Glenn to the Lions this offseason. Dan Rauscher returns to coach tight ends, as well as being promoted to a run game coordinator, a position he coached in 2015 for the Saints before assuming the offensive line coaching duties for the team over the last five seasons. And Rauscher, a former college quarterback, he's a 35-year coaching veteran. And you've heard Steve Kort, Zach Strief when he was here, Bobby Hebert, myself, we've all sung the praises of Dan Rauscher and his development for a lot of those guys up front along the offensive line. I mean, yeah, they've had some studs in there, guys like Teron Armstead, Ryan Ramczyk, but Andres Pete, and some of y'all don't think very highly of Andres Pete, and I get it. He's banged up from time to time, but he's still, when he found a home in the interior at guard, he's been an outstanding addition. So Dan Rauscher now is the run game coordinator and tight ends coach. They needed a tight ends coach when Dan Campbell left that post and took over as the head coach of the Detroit Lions. Let's see. So Zach Strief returns to the Saints as an assistant offensive line coach. He was the obviously the play-by-play announcer right here on WWL Saints Radio for the past three seasons after his retirement of a 12-year playing career. So Strief originally entered the NFL and joined the club as the first of two seventh-round picks in 2006 out of Northwestern. And that's another coach that I think, and again, we talked about it the day he announced that he was stepping down as the voice of the Saints. That's a guy in Zach Strief that I think is going to ascend pretty quickly within that coaching ranks. And if he pours anything into his playing career, or if he pours anything into his coaching career like he did his playing career and as the play-by-play man here at WWL for three seasons, he's going to have big success. 37 years of coaching for Jim Chaney. He joins the Saints as an offensive analyst, serving as an offensive coordinator in college for 25 seasons at Tennessee from 2009 to 12, also a second stint from 2019 to 2020, in Georgia from 2016 to 2018. He was with the Steelers in 2015, Arkansas 2013 and 14, and Purdue from 1995 to 2005. Ironically, it's, you know, he was there when Drew was there at Purdue. And Cal State Fullerton from 1988 to 1992. He's a Missouri native, former Central Missouri State standout, also the NFL coaching experience from three-year stint with the St. Louis Rams back in the day where he served as the offensive line coach from 2006 to 2007 and tutored their tight ends in 2008. So the coaching staff is pretty much filled out for the Saints. And it's a veteran-laden one mixed in with a couple of newcomers. Some guys shifted around. Like I mentioned, Dan Rauscher moving around. He was the offensive line coach. Chris Richard coming back and working with the Saints secondary, coming back to the NFL, I should say, after stints with Seattle and Dallas. And that's a smart play because should you continue to have success on defense and next year Dennis Allen gets a head coaching opportunity, which I think he will and should in the next couple of years at least, given the success he's had as the defensive coordinator. I know it didn't work out for Dennis Allen and Oakland with the Raiders, but he's going to probably get a couple of looks. But if you lose Dennis Allen, Chris Richard, I think, is a defensive coordinator in waiting should that happen. Nice little plan B for Sean Payton and the Saints should that play out. So Chris Richard, I expect him to really pay dividends for that Saints secondary that Aaron Glenn vacated and went to be the D.C. Lions. And the young corners and secondary players for the Saints during Aaron Glenn's tenure, they praised his ability to teach and his ability to communicate in general with the secondary. And that's a loss, certainly, for the Saints and a gain for the Lions. But I also think Chris Richard is another gain for the Saints. Brandon Nugent, he's going to coach the offensive line assisted by Zach Strief. So there it is. The coaching staff pretty much filled out and completed. Now they have to get to attacking the salary cap situation. They started to do that throughout the week, restructuring David Onyemata's contract earlier this week, restructuring Will Lutz's contract earlier today, releasing veteran tight ends Jared Cook and Josh Hill, terminating the contract of punter Thomas Morstead. So they're starting to do work, and I think you're going to see this leading up to next week, not just with the Saints, but across the NFL as teams try to get under the salary cap that was impacted negatively by the COVID-19 pandemic. So they won't. They're not done, and a lot of teams are in over the cap in situations like that where they have to get under it. The Saints have the most work to do in order to get that that magic number under the salary cap. LSU baseball back in action last night, taking down Southern. They're back in action tomorrow, and that game was moved up from an original 7 o'clock first pitch to a 1 o'clock first pitch because of some incoming weather that could impact that game. So LSU will take on Oral Roberts beginning tomorrow, first pitch right at 1 o'clock, and that'll go on from the box at 1 p.m. tomorrow. They should be on schedule for Saturday and Sunday. LSU coach Paul Maneri will join us here in a few moments to talk about the midweek games, wins over Southern and wins over Nicholls State. LSU is, I think, playing some fantastic offense so far in the young season. Dylan Cruz has been every bit as advertised as he was coming into the season. And this is where LSU baseball really benefited from COVID-19, if there was such a thing. Dylan Cruz should be playing in some farm club, AA or AAA level, and should have gotten drafted. But because of the pandemic, they shortened the draft. He did not. He decided he wanted to go experience college baseball, and LSU was the benefactor, and he has been outstanding this year for the Tigers so far. And that was one of the players that, as we got into the season, he was one that you pointed to along with another guy that's performing for LSU offensively and defensively as a freshman. That's Trey Morgan. Both of those guys have really been significant contributors early on in the LSU season. So far they're getting what they at least hoped for and expected from those two young freshmen. And if you haven't watched Trey Morgan play defense, you need to. You just need to. At first base, I know it doesn't sound all that great because it's first base, and you go, well, how hard is it? But when you watch some of the things he can do with his glove and also stretching out to get a ball and the way he can contort his body around that bag, he almost does a waltz around the first base. He's been phenomenal to watch as well. LSU coach Paul Maneri joining us now. Coach, how are you? I was just talking about the footwork of Trey Morgan. He almost does a waltz around first base, how he can move around and get to some balls that most can't.
Yeah, it looks like a dance. He's got that unbelievable footwork. Today, I've been in the game a long time. Christian, he's got as good a footwork around the bag as any first baseman I've ever seen. It's great instinct. You know, I know he's done a lot of work growing up with his father. His father taught him a lot and worked him a lot. But a lot of that is just natural instinct for the game. He's got obviously the athletic ability. But, you know, in the heat of the moment, to be able to, when you can keep your foot on the base and know when to shuffle your feet and know when you can go into foul territory or know how far to stretch out to get your glove in a position to be able to pick a ball in the dirt. A lot of that is just a feel for the game and the instinct for the game. And he's got it, man. I'm telling you, he's like poetry in motion watching him play first base.
Are you in the cage or at BP? I hear some pings going off the bat.
We're still at practice out at the field, yeah.
Oh, well, thank you so much for carving out some time this early in particular. So what do you think of your offense so far? It's been pretty productive this year.
Well, I'm obviously pleased. When the season begins, you just never know what's going to happen. And we were a little bit tentative the first couple days of the season. The first game of the year, the Air Force Academy walked a lot of our batters. And I think when you face a pitching staff that walks a lot of your batters, it has a tendency to put your batters to sleep a little bit, you know, makes you a little less aggressive and, you know, you don't want to swing at bad pitches, that type of thing, and kind of carried into the second day of the season. And we lost that ball game, you know, and they actually threw some good arms against us that day and talked to the team after that game and just said, look, we got to go back to just being really aggressive, get up there and let it rip. And if you swing at a bad pitch, you swing at a bad pitch, forget about it, at least be aggressive. And, you know, the guys all really took it all to heart, and I think since then they've shown a lot of aggressiveness at the plate, and, you know, we swung with a lot of authority. We've hit a lot of extra base hits and home runs, and, you know, I like the way the guys are attacking the ball.
I know you could probably talk about Dylan Cruz for several hours, and all I can say, he's lived up, Coach, so far to what you said prior to the start of the season, that he's impressive to watch at the plate.
Well, he's the total package, and we knew that coming in. We're very fortunate that he came to School Christian. You know, kids like him don't often come to college. You know, people, you know, wonder why you don't get kids like him more frequently. But, you know, guys like him, you know, the professional baseball people are scooping him up out of high school so frequently. And they, you know, they throw a lot of money their way, and, you know, it's attractive to kids. You know, the idea of going to play in the major leagues, and, you know, they don't always get to the major leagues. It's a long road through the minor leagues. And Dylan was smart enough to realize that he could have his cake and eat it too. He could have great college experience at LSU, you know, develop his skills, prepare himself to succeed in professional baseball, and then be ready, you know, to go out there and have a good professional career as well. And I think he's right on target to do everything. And he's got off to a good start, no question about that.
Coach, yesterday in the first game of the doubleheader, Blake Money on in relief, and he was money. I don't mean to be so corny, but, I mean, I thought he pitched well. You agree?
Oh, he was the key to the game for us. There's no question about that. You know, Javen Coleman just got off to a rough start, and he was just a really key batter. He got out there in the second inning when we brought Blake in. He got the batter out with runners on second and third and two outs. If he didn't get that out there, you know, we could have been down 3, 4, 5 runs right out of the gate, and the wind was blowing in, and Nickel State threw some good arms against us. It would have put a lot of pressure on us, especially with the wind blowing in. But Blake Money got that big out for us, kept us in the game. Brody Dross broke the ice for us with a home run, got us within one, and then we got another run, tied the game up, and it allowed our team to relax a little bit. And it was a really good ball game. Nickel State played tremendously, and I thought our guys played well also, and It was just a good ball game, and we found a way to win in the end.
Coach, you guys have played 9 games. I don't know if every team in the SEC has played 9 games just because of the scheduling quirks of COVID-19. But what do you think of the SEC so far, and some of the games that you've been able to at least just get some feedback on, some results? Is there anything that you've noticed, a trend or anything like that so far in the SEC?
Well, it looks like it's going to be a dogfight. You know, all the teams look very talented, and you know, the opening weekend, 3 of the teams played in the tournament out in Arlington and dominated the Big 12. I think we only lost 1 game in the 9 games that the SEC teams played. They dominated Texas, TCU, and Texas Tech. You know, I think we've only lost a handful of games throughout the 14 teams that have played. You know, so you know, every team is loaded. Every team's got first round draft choices. It's going to be a very competitive league, and we know that every year, and this year in particular, just every team has really outstanding ball players. It's going to be exciting, but we still got a couple of weeks to go to get ready for that, and we're just taking it one game at a time. Our next challenge is Oral Roberts tomorrow night, or tomorrow afternoon now, 1:00.
We'll get to that in a second. I'm just curious if you've already been asked this, but Giovanni DiGiacomo, when does he look to return? I know he got banged up with a hamstring injury early.
Yeah, I just don't know yet, Christian. We're just playing that one day by day. It's getting better every day, but we just don't really have a timetable yet on when he'll return.
Oral Roberts, as you mentioned, coming to town for 3 games this weekend at the Box. 1:00 tomorrow, 3:00 on Saturday, and 2 p.m. on Sunday. What do you know about Oral Roberts?
I don't know that much about them specifically this year. I know that traditionally, they have a really outstanding program. There was a stretch, I think, of 15 straight years they won their conference championship, whichever league they were in. And I think that streak ended in 2012. And then for a couple years, they didn't win it. And then I think they won it like 3 straight years again. And I don't know that they've been, you know, at quite the level that they once enjoyed the last couple years. But my gut tells me that they're a team filled with really good baseball players. They're a school with a lot of tradition and a lot of pride, you know, good athletes in the state of Oklahoma. And we're expecting really good ball games. I haven't really had a chance to study them that much yet. You know, we just came off a long day yesterday, doubleheader, and it's been a pretty busy day with a lot of things. My assistants have looked at them more than I have. So we're going to take a good look at them tonight and get ready for tomorrow.
Coach, here we are 9 games in, and we all know how last season ended with a cancellation because of the pandemic. But it seems like, and I've watched a few games online, and it seems like both the opposing team and your team are just having a ball to get back to what
what is somewhat normal for them? It seems like everybody's kind of enjoying that they're back playing baseball.
Well, I would say that's accurate. Yeah, sure. It was a different feeling than last year. It was right around this time when last year everything got shut down. I believe March 11th was the last day we played last year. So it's just about the one-year anniversary. And it's been a long year. You know, so the last 12 months have been a long time for everybody, whether you're involved in college baseball or not. A lot of loved ones have been lost. A lot of people have been sick. It's been a tragic time in our country's history, and a time that a lot of us would like to never see again, quite frankly. So, you know, for the ones of us that have survived it, you know, we don't want to go through it again. We hope we never have to, but, the ones that have survived, life is going on, and we're going to continue to be grateful for what we have. And, you know, we are grateful for what we have. Every day we get to go onto the baseball field and enjoy life. We're happy to be out here.
What's the expectation for Jaden Hill tomorrow afternoon in terms of innings or pitch count? Are you going to extend him a little bit more than you did the previous one or about that?
Well, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see how he pitches. And, you know, last week he went 6 innings, and I think he was a little bit over 60 pitches. So, I think he was at about 70 pitches. So I'm sure something around there, maybe a little bit more if he's able to go without exerting too much of an effort. We'll see how it goes. But, you know, we'll just let the game play out and determine that during the course of the ballgame.
LSU baseball coach Paul Mainieri, thanks again for carving out some time for us, and good luck this weekend.
Okay, thanks a lot, Christian.
All right, you bet. Oral Roberts tomorrow at the box, 1 p.m. first pitch, and then Saturday, 3 p.m. Sunday at 2 p.m. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. The Saints terminated the contracts of punter Thomas Morstead today, restructured Will Lutz's contract to free up some cap space, terminated the contracts of tight ends Josh Hill and Jared Cook yesterday, so the Saints are doing their work to get under the salary cap. Back here on Sports Talk, the NFL is going to release the schedule later than ever with the hopes of packed stadiums. Generally, the release of the schedule usually happens in late April, early May, but the schedule is expected to come out later than ever this year. According to Ben Fisher of Sports Business Journal, the league won't release the schedule for the 2021 season until maybe mid-May. Last year, the schedule was announced on May 7th, and it could be about a week later, perhaps more, before we find out the 2021 Saints schedule and across the NFL. And Fisher noted that it would make it the latest NFL schedule release in history, and it's for several reasons for the delay. NFL teams are expected to move from a 16 to 17 game regular season. Adding an extra week might not seem like much, but it means an extra week of managing logistics of 32 NFL teams. If you omit the New York Jets as an NFL team, that would be 31. That was my poor attempt at humor. Anyway, there are also the delay. Some of the factors are the sharp declines in COVID-19 positivity rates and the increase in vaccination rates. And the NFL teams are optimistic that stadiums will once again be full next fall. That is such encouraging news. So fans are going to have to plan schedules, you know, what games they're going to go to, home and away, if they share season tickets. But that's positive, and that's great news, actually. So 32 teams already know which teams they'll face in 2021. And we'll, for the sake of this segment here, we'll go ahead and outline the Saints' opponents. We don't know the dates, but I just want to remind you of what's on the 2021 Saints schedule. We'll bring in Mark Menard at Master Control. He has them in front of them. So start with the home games and tell us the road games.
Yeah, so at home, obviously, you got your three divisional opponents. So you'll get the Atlanta Falcons, the Carolina Panthers, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, all in the Superdome, as you usually do. The Saints will also play against the NFC East this year. That means two home games against teams from the NFC East. And in their case,
the worst division in football.
The worst division in football. And that means you're going to get a visit from the Dallas Cowboys in the Superdome this season. You'll also see the New York Giants come to New Orleans. Then the other two NFC East teams will be on the road, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Washington football team, who may have a new mascot by that point in time. We expect, you
they
know,
need a new stadium.
Well, one thing at a time, I guess, but they could use a new owner while they're at it. But if we're making changes, let's just go all the way to the top. But the Saints will also play against the AFC East this year. That means that they will get visits from Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Ew. And the Miami Dolphins in the Superdome. They will travel to face the New England Patriots and the New York Jets. So they get those four games. And they also, of course, you round out your schedule by playing the first-place teams. Since they finished in first, they play the first-place teams in the other two NFC divisions that they don't play a round robin against. In their case, that means the NFC North, the Seattle Seahawks. They will travel to Seattle to play that game. And excuse me, that's not the NFC North, is it? The NFC North
no,
is the Green Bay.
NFC West.
NFC West. I couldn't get my directions down in my head, but yeah, the NFC West. They will travel to CenturyLink Field. The NFC North. They'll play the Green Bay Packers in the Superdome. So Aaron Rodgers and the Packers making the visit to the Big Easy. So your home games, Atlanta, Carolina, Tampa Bay, Dallas, the New York Giants, Buffalo, Miami, and Green Bay. That's the teams that are coming to the Superdome this year. If you have a Saints season ticket, that's who you'll get to see. And obviously waiting to see if they add that 17th game and who they might end up playing in that case.
And who are they on the road against? Seattle, you mentioned them.
Yeah, on the road, again, Atlanta, Carolina, Tampa Bay, also New England, the New York Jets, Washington, Philadelphia, and Seattle.
They could have five games outdoors with some pretty inclement weather. I mean, you got to figure out of five of those venues, Philadelphia, New York, New England, Seattle, and I'm leaving the other one out, Washington. Out of those... that's four. So out of those four, you got to figure you're going to play two games in cold weather venues.
Well, and you'll probably also get that late season trip to Charlotte, which can sometimes be pretty chilly as well.
Yeah. I just think that between playing in Washington, Seattle, New England, or New York.
And Philadelphia.
I left Philadelphia out too. Yeah, I knew it was five. You can't tell me that. The schedule makers are going to put all those games in September and October. It's not going to happen. So that'll be interesting. It'll be out of five, you got to figure at least two will be late December, maybe the first week of January, or middle of December, where you could see some inclement weather.
Some of those places, even November gets a little chilly.
Yeah, go to Foxborough in November. It snows up there. All right, Mark, thank you very much. So the schedule probably won't be released until mid-May, maybe even later than that, as the NFL eyes full stadiums this fall. Great news there. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. All right, back here on Sports Talk, Ben McDonald, former LSU pitcher and MLB pitcher, will join us next hour, previewing the first nine games of the season for LSU and looking ahead to Oral Roberts, their series this weekend. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Tomorrow's first pitch is at 1 p.m. They moved it up because of weather. Mark, how would you like to be the NFL schedule maker? How nerve-wracking would that be?
I can't even wrap my brain around what it takes to put together one of these schedules for NFL or NBA or, God forbid, Major League Baseball with 160-something games, everybody.
I'd have, like, eight teams double-booked. It would be a mess. It would be an absolute disaster. All right, one down, three to go. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today.
Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.